everybody. Let me just stop for a word of prayer. Father, slow me down. Slow me down. I just want to walk with you. I'm in just this little room with these few friends of mine. Nothing to be afraid of here. So, Father, you told me that my mind left to its own devices is a terribly scary place and that I should never go up there alone. And so I ask you, Lord Father, to come up there with me as a adult supervision to clear my mind and to bring forth the words that you would have me to say today. It seems like there's so much going on up there. It's so hard for me to not want to say every single thing that I think is right. But Father, you know what you want said today. So Father, just help me to just relax and put myself out of this. Let your words be said. I've come here today to encourage you, and I ask you, Father, to let that happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Encouragement is so important to us in these days. So I'd like to start off with a lovely hymn that the Lord's been singing to me all week. And it goes like this. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Oh, I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Uh-huh, I'm so excited. That's the way I feel about God these days. He's got me so excited. It's been so weird because people have been saying around here, you know, we feel something in the air. I feel something in my heart. I feel something in my soul. I feel something in my spirit that it is, in fact, a new day. And, you know, the reality of the Word of God that says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That curtain, just a little bit, I don't understand it a bit, but I feel that it's starting to be raised in my consciousness. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in me. And it's all such an encouraging word. And last week, not this week, in Sunday school. Oh, Mike, I forgot my glasses. Would you bring them up to me? Last week in Sunday school, Rich asked me to read something because I have the same book he's studying out of. And I mean to tell you, it blew my mind away. This is out of the Mirror Study Bible. Aren't they in there?
No.
Oh, is this them? Oh, okay, thank you. When I'm at home, this is what I spend half my time doing, is looking for my glasses. Oh, and even when I put them on anymore, they don't do all that much good. So, Father, we ask for healing. Okay, so it was in chapter 4 of Revelation, and it's out of this Mirror Study Bible. And I'm only going to read through the fourth verse. But because the third verse, or the third chapter, the tail end of it kind of, you know, goes with it. And, you know, the funny thing is that I was reading through some things that I wrote down couple of, maybe 6 months ago, and it was the Lord speaking to me, and he said, come on up here. Come on up here a little higher. And he said, I will show you things from my perspective. And so I'm going to start at verse 18 in chapter 3, and this is out of this Mirror Study Bible. I invite you to talk business with me. This is God talking to us. Come, let us resolve this together. I want to make you really rich. Okay. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that is thoroughly refined in the fire. Boy, there's a lot even in that one little verse. Not the flawed currency of your own trade. We're not talking about a mixture here. No dross. And from now on, buy your clothing from me. White garments, not the blended brand of your own making. Clothe yourself completely with these, and there will be not even a hint of shame. For your eyes, by eyes saved from me, to anoint your eyes so that you can clearly see yourself in Christ. That's what part of what I feel like God is doing for me in these days. He's showing me myself and all of you in Christ. Yes. So then he goes on and he says, it is with affection, it is with love that I address every one of you, whoever you are. I would earnestly persuade you, as a parent would instruct and nurture their children. Eagerly acquaint yourselves with all that I have in mind for you. You have shut me out in your self-righteousness. Got any of that? Boy, I do. Self-centered, self-righteous selfishness. You want to talk about something that's wrong with most people? Well, there's not been a person that is. That's where we get ourselves in trouble. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. But behold, here I stand. I stand at your door. If anyone recognizes my voice, who knows his voice? His sheep. And lets me in, I am so ready to join you for a feast. Yes, I will dine with you and you with me. And you know what? We aren't going to get fat. We don't have to worry about carbs. When we dine with God, wow. What a day that will be. Now I'm going to move over and start chapter 4. We haven't even got to the good stuff with. This is the part about where he's just saying, come on up here. Come on up here a little higher. I want to show you something I've never shown you before. And when I read this last week, it blew my mind away. He says, wait a minute. He said something about co-seated being so. Oh, yeah. I have to go back to 3. I'm sorry. See, I'm not a preacher. Okay. And everyone, and we're going back to where we were before, and everyone's personal triumph will be celebrated together with me by being jointly seated together in my kingship. I mean, chew on that for a little while. It is on exactly the same basis as my victory celebration and my joint seatedness with my Father in his throne room. Wow. Can you see just a little crack in the things that God has prepared for us? He says, now listen up. With your inner ears, hear with understanding what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesia. Those are the called out ones. Okay, now on to chapter four. Talking about your co-seatedness, I want you to see something. Oh, wow. What I see takes my breath away. This is John talking. I mean, that's not me doing an aside. This is what John says. What I see takes my breath away. A wide open door in the heavenly realm. The first thing I heard was this voice addressing me. It was distinct and clear, like the sound of a trumpet. Ooh! It captured my attention, inviting me to enter. Ooh! Come up here, and I will show you how everything coincides with what you have already seen. God has a plan. And his plan is perfect. And his plan is to let us be co-seated with him. Wow. Let me go on to verse 2. So here I am, immersed in this unrestricted space of spirit ecstasy. As the vision opens, I immediately notice the throne. And one seated on it. The one seated upon the throne appeared to reflect multicolored, earthy patterns, like that of a jasper stone, and the blood red color of the sardion, with the entire throne wrapped in a rainbow radiance of emerald green. Well, we've been studying some of that stuff in Sunday school, and the color of the first was the firstborn of Abraham. Is that right, or did it reverse? And the color of the last was the lastborn son. So in type and shadow, it takes in all of humanity, okay? Now he says, and coiled, oh, into a complete circle, a circle. What's a circle? It's completeness. It has no beginning, it has no end. Around the throne were 24 thrones and 24 presbyterians, which I think are the elders, seated upon the thrones. They were enwrapped in white with victor's wreaths of gold, crowning their heads. Now listen to this. Their minds were co-enthroned in the authority of the throne engulfing them in their co-seatedness. Wow. I mean, that took my breath away. The minds of all of these people were co-enthroned with the mind of Christ and the mind of the Father. We are not another. We are with him in his throne. He won't let us forget. He's made us to sit in high places. You know, I'm coming here today to just encourage you guys. It is well. It's all well. It's all going to be well. It is all well. It was well from the foundation of the earth and beyond. And beyond. In every way. Wow. It's hard to take it all in because we're in a time element, you know, where we're moving into this. God sees it as it is. It is done. Christ paid the price. Let me see, what did I write? I wrote something down here. When we are one, when our minds are co-enthroned, when we all have the mind of Christ perfectly free in our minds, then will the world believe? You know, that's what the Bible says. I think it's in John 17:21. Let me see if I can find it here. I brought this because I thought I should enter the 21st century, but ta-da, ta-da. Wait a minute. John 17. I pray for these, Father, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Isn't that just exactly what that said? And we've read that a million times, I bet, and the scope of it has never even occurred to us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God is so good. You know what is really weird? You talked about Oscar when you were talking before I came up here about a broken vessel. And I almost was going to start with this because this is a dream that I had about a month ago. And in the dream, I was looking over my whole life and I saw all the things that had happened to me, all the things that I did wrong. Not even things that were not my fault, things that were my fault, terrible things that I did. Character defects, shortcomings, downright sins. And I was crying before God, and my heart broke. I mean, literally in my dream, my heart broke. My heart broke when I realized what I had done. And when my heart broke, this gold that was liquid, that shined, it just flowed out of me from my broken heart. And that reminded me of what you just said right before about the vessel has to be broken. Who is the vessel? The vessel is us. So, why do we welcome trials? Because James says, when you come into all kinds of trials and diverse temptations and all kinds of things, welcome them as friends. Why would God tell you to welcome them as friends? Because they are. They are friends. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. My life was going pretty well for an awful long time. And I thought that I was doing a pretty good job of being a Christian. It's not a job, guys, first of all. It's not something you do, it's something you are. It's your DNA. You can only produce what God put in you, you know. You're going to produce a son of God. That's what's going to be flowered out of your life as a son of God, because that's what you are. You know, when we start understanding who we are in Christ, everything changes. So when trials came my way, they were the affliction that caused me to cry out for God. And crying out for God means, like I just sang in that song, I'm about to lose control. Buddy, we have no control. There is a controller. I'm not it. You're not it. There is a controller, and he is the Lord. If he allows affliction, trials to come your way, they have a purpose. And like the Bible said, eye has not seen. You can't even understand the glory that's going to be revealed in us. But it's not for our comfort that we are here. It is for the revealing. It's for the revealing of what's to be to come in us. And once I realized that without God, without not only just with him next to me, when I get in trouble saying, hey, bud, I need a little help over here. No. When I need God for my next breath, when I have a relationship with God, God is my Abba Father. You know, it's hard to know God through your intellect. You have to know him, and you have to talk to him to get to know him. You know, you can't just read about Albert Einstein and say you know him. You'd have to sit down next to him, find out what he likes to eat, find out, you know, see, you know, God is my Father. And now, because of all the hurts, because of things that have happened in my life, I can say every morning, God, thank you for waking me up. My Father, my Abba Father, where are we going today? What are we going to do? Father, it is my will to do your will. Whatever you say, I'll say it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I fall short. Whatever you do in me, I'll do it. Oh, Father, help me to show kindness to people who, you know, just irritate the snot out of me. You know, just help me to show love to people who don't show it to me. Help me to learn to try to understand what other people are going through. You know, you're working your plan out in their lives, and they got to walk their walk. So why should I judge them? Oh, we could get on another whole thing about judging people. You know, we're not supposed to judge. We're acceptable to God. If we're acceptable to God, everybody's acceptable to God. He loves us all. He doesn't keep score. There's not even a scorecard. He just loves us. You don't want to be eaten out of that old tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because that's what brought death. We want to eat of the tree of life. Whoever they are, give them life. Give them God's life. Wow. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. Every night, I say thank you, Lord. Let's review our day. What did you do in me today that was good and profitable for me? How did I fail you, Lord? Help me to do better tomorrow. Oh, but Father, you know, my life today is so much simpler when I thought I was in charge. I'm not. I'm not in charge of anything, and I thank God for that every day of my life. You know, if he says do something about it, First of all, I'm going to say, are you sure that's you, God? You know, because sometimes my brain, you know, tries to put on airs and act like I should be doing something about something I shouldn't be butting into. It happens, you know? But we can always give love. We can always give kindness. We can always give understanding. Let me see if I'm going so far off. I don't even know what I'm saying. You know, none of this is written down. I knew that God, you know, it was so weird because I let myself get so excited about these, about standing up here, and God always gives a word. God always gives a word. And I can't even remember if this was anything that I expected to say. It doesn't matter. It's what I'm saying. Anyway, here's one. We were on Why Do We Welcome Trials. You know, they're footstools. They raise us up higher. There is always a reason for trials in our lives, to teach us how much we need God. It says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And I think about this a lot. I don't know if any of you do. Do you think, you know, I know that that was said about Jesus before he died on the cross. Because I think it's in one of the Gospels. But anyway, so Jesus had already learned obedience through things that he suffered before he died on the cross. So he must have suffered other things, right? Do you think Jesus was ever a bratty kid? Do you think he ever got spanked? Do you think he ever mouthed back to his mom? I'm not going to answer that question because, you know, lightning might strike. But I wonder those things. I bet he did. Because he learned obedience the same way we do through the things that he suffered. And, you know, I thought he, you know, that time when he was 12 and then he disappeared and he was off teaching in the, I thought that was kind of like a little, you know, teenage rebellion. Didn't you? Come on. Answer. Yes or no? Oh, well, I need it. Never mind. The lightning will only strike up here. I think that was a little teenage rebellion on his part. So there was a little bit of Jesus in him there. What else do I have? Let me see. I don't know. Ephesians 10. Ephesians 1. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. This inheritance we've obtained, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, that's God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying he's doing all of this. All the co-seatedness, all of us being one, all of us standing, sitting in his presence because he wants to. That's the counsel of his own will. He does it because he wants to. He is God. He doesn't have to, you know? What's this one? He is our high priest. He says we're priests and kings. Wow. You can have a priest and you can have a king, but Jesus Christ was a priest and a king. And he's called us to be priests and kings. So if he's called us to be it, if he says be it, guess what? We be it. You know? Gosh, you know, I think that's probably, I'm sorry, that's about all that I've got today. It's been quite a week for me thinking about these things. Christ encourages me so much that all is well. It doesn't matter. I had a resentment for a long time against some people in my family. And I didn't want it. It hurt me. You know, it made me feel less than proud of myself. And I tried to be perfect in it. Oh, Lord, I forgive them. It was words. It was in me. It was there. It always came back. And you know what I mean? You try, but when you're trying in yourself, you're not going to succeed. And one day, I just noticed God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I thought about it. I said, you know what, Lord? I love them. You've given me a love for them. And it doesn't matter how they treat me. Doesn't matter if I get invited to Thanksgiving. Doesn't matter if they love me back. I love them because you love them, because you love me. Be encouraged today, would you? Be encouraged. It's all good. It's been settled since before the foundation of the world, and it ends in a throne room, co-seated with God and Christ in them, in Christ, in God, is us. Never forget who you are. If you go around with mistaken identity, you're going to do things that you don't want to do. When you realize who you are in Christ and you invite him to walk in you, through you, with you. I love those prepositions. I had to go to a book one day and look at all the prepositions because God is all of those things. He's before us. He's beside us. He's above us. He's below us. He's within us. He's alongside of us. God is so good. He's all and in all. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word of encouragement that you give me every day of my life. Help me, Father, to always welcome my trials. That's hard to say. I had to stop and think about it there for a minute. As friends, invite them to come in and have a cup of coffee, sit down, because they are going to become your footstool to raise yourself higher and higher into Christ. Amen. That's all I got.